in between the meetings, when we have lunch, we actually spend that time discerning. We start just sharing with each other what we're feeling, what we're sensing, and picking up. Sometimes there's dreams, like Robin had a very interesting encounter last night where she got woke up three times by the Lord and specific people's faces put in front of her eyes. Like literally, like she woke up and bang, woke, bang, like at three different times in the night. You know, so we share things the Lord's showing us, dreams, visions, whatever, words, just however God leads. And we try to discern what is the direction that he wants us to go in. And we just do that by the witness of our spirits. Like we hear stuff and then whatever we witness in our spirit, we say, okay, that must be it. And we start heading in that direction and just testing it with the Lord the whole time as we go. So that's what we're doing every session. And the only time we have to do it is the meal times because we're in the meeting the rest of the time. So that's what we're doing. If you're wondering, how come I have never seen these guys in the lunch? It's because we're discerning. That's why we've got people when some of the fathers and mothers are with us too, and just taking that time just to hear the Lord. So we're going to do what we felt for this afternoon was we felt like we need to, when we were traveling the country in the last, since April, we went to different parts of the country into different cities and stuff. And we went there and we had meetings that were for, like, we had these we call them Gen X only meetings. And they were meetings where we literally made it Gen X only. There was nobody allowed that wasn't Gen X. And the reason for it was because one of the things that we found with our generation has been that we sometimes have a hard time communicating when there's other people, other generations in the room, especially older generation. You find that it's hard for Gen Xers to be transparent when there's, you know, like I said, especially older like leaders and stuff in the room, they just won't share what they're really feeling or what they're really thinking. And so we, you know, as one of the ways of trying to get to the heart of things with Gen Xers, we said we're going to have these like Gen X only meetings and we're going to get just them alone in a room where it's just us. And so then they can feel like they're sort of safe to share. We don't believe that that's something that should be continuing as a process. That's something we believe God's shifting us out of getting us to the place where we start to feel comfortable in the family and to share our hearts openly in the family. So today, as a bit of a transition point between that kind of a meeting, like we had, for example, in Vancouver at Rebecca and Caleb's church, we had just like 60 Gen Xers in a room together for sharing time. We felt like the Lord said we were to do a transition meeting. So we're going to do a Gen X meeting, straight talk, Gen Xer to Gen Xer straight talk meeting. But we're not going to kick the boomers and the millennials out and the builders. We have done that in the past. We did in the Niverville meeting too. We came and we said, all the boomers out in the foyer. This is a Gen X only meeting. We're not going to do that. So you can relax. You're not getting kicked out of the building. We're not going to do that. But what we did feel to do is concentrate all the Gen Xers into this space here. So all the Gen Xers, we want all Gen Xers to move and sit in this space. If you're not a Gen Xer, if you're a builder, a boomer, a millennial, we're asking you to go to the other side, either of the sides. So you're still welcome to be part of the meeting. You're still welcome. We're going to let you listen in to these Gen X only meetings, what really happens in these Gen X only meetings. One of the things that the Lord has spoken to us about as a generation, I think I shared this the first day. I talked about that whole word that God gave us at 123 March last year about the apostasy, right? About our generation having fallen away from standing, and that we had to repent at that meeting because if God's favor wasn't with us, we weren't going to go anywhere. That was a big step. Like, you see, it's like a journey, right? God is unlocking the things in our generation a step at a time. And so the first thing was that it was dealing with the apostasy so that we'd have the face of God's favor turned toward us. But now the crying and longing in our heart as we've been praying has been, okay, God, so here's a generation that's been waiting a long time to birth, right? Yes? Gen Xers? How many of you would say, there's things inside of my heart I've been longing to see, I've been carrying since I was whatever, and I've never seen them? Hands up. Okay, everybody. So that's the next, we feel that this is part of the next step that the Lord is preparing us, because we really believe that one of the things he wants to have happen here is birthing. That this is a birthing place. I'll just say it flat out. This is a birthing place. We believe that. And that that's one of the things that the Lord has on his heart for this gathering. So with that, Tabby's going to share a little bit about, there's no point in me talking about birthing because I've never had kids. So we're going to get somebody who's a bit of an expert. She has four.
Yeah, we while we were discerning during lunchtime, Wanda started sharing about prenatal classes she had taken and everything, and it brought the whole picture back to me from my first birth, the one that all mothers, pregnant mothers, dread. Actually, I know I have a couple of friends who actually don't want kids because they're afraid of it, and I've met people that were like, that have had kids, but that were afraid before. A lot of people are traumatized by that. And when you're pregnant with your first, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what to expect. And I remember telling Dominic, said, when they ask me if I want some painkiller or the epidural or something, you tell me you can do it because I want to do it the natural way. Like, I have to know what this is. And the first birth was, the first 2 hours, let's just say, when the labor pain started, they were quite intense right away, and I wasn't doing well. I was like resisting it. It was hard. Like the pain is coming on, and I'm like, oh, how do I do this? And then I was trying to think of everything I had learned in my prenatal classes, where they were telling me, you know, you need to breathe, you need to relax, and what Wanda was talking about, like, just they teach you how to relax every little muscle of your body and to breathe and everything. And like, I remember being in those classes and doing it, but then when the pain was there, it was like, let's try the bath, let's try this, I was trying everything, you know, like, to get peace, and I wasn't getting it, until a certain point where I said, okay, I'm just going to lie on my bed on my left side. I'll always remember. I remember saying that I need to embrace this. My body knows what to do, but I'm resisting it because I can't handle the pain. I don't want the pain. So I just need to embrace this. And I remember just going on my side, and Dom had his hand on my shoulder, and I just started like yielding completely to it. The contractions would come, and I would just let it. Like, I was literally embracing the pain, yielding to the pain, to the point I was so concentrated that in between contractions, I was falling asleep, literally. Like, I was so rested in the process, and Dom would move, even like he had his hand on my shoulder, he'd move a finger, and I'm like, put your finger back. Exactly, like, just the slightest little change would affect me. Like, I was so concentrated. And what could have taken, because the first birth is always, like, they say 1 hour per centimeter. I don't know how they say that, but they say, like, it can be, like, 12, 13 hours. Well, it took, by the time that I embraced the pain and really rested in the process, 2 hours. And I was holding the baby, and then it's, like the joy, you're flooded with the joy. And the Lord was really speaking to us about this during lunch, about embracing the pain and embracing the process. And I just wanted to share a little bit of my first experience with my first baby. But I believe the Lord, there's something in this that the Lord wants to speak to us as Gen Xers.
Yeah, when Wanda was sharing, she actually used a phrase when she was talking about it. She said, I had to submit to the pain. And when she said submit to the pain, it was like bang. I heard this bang in my spirit when she said that. Because I think that that might be one of the areas that we sort of struggled with as Gen Xers, at least a lot of Gen Xers I've talked to. I think that that's something, if we're just going to be honest amongst ourselves, as Xers, and I'm not saying necessarily everyone in this room is in this position, but the point is there's not that many of us in this room. as compared to the number of people in our generation. And one of the reasons for that is because of there's been an unwillingness in our generation to submit to the pain of the process that we've been going through. When it got painful, we bolted. People bolted. They were like, it became the voice of pain became something that spoke louder than the voice of God in our lives. And again, I'm not saying specifically every person in this room. I'm saying this is something that we've seen in our generation, though. In fact, the fact that you're here, maybe that means you're the ones who didn't bolt. You managed to stick it out. But, you know, part of what God's doing is he's bringing us together as a remnant to stand in the gap on behalf of our whole generation. Because I'm not just interested in seeing the release of a few Gen Xers. I'm not interested in just seeing my own release. I'm interested in seeing like the destiny of God being fulfilled for our generation. And so to know that, we have to know what are the things, what are the stumbling blocks? What are the areas, the ways that the enemy has prevented us from getting to the place of our destiny? What has prevented it? And I think this is one of the big areas that I've seen personally with many, many, many of my friends. I had many people say to me, it's just too hard. It's just too painful. I just can't keep doing this over and over and over again. You know, and I think there's also been a generalized, and we've kind of touched on it a couple of the sessions, but this is straight talk to Gen Xers right now. This is a Gen Xer to Gen Xer. We have an issue with self-pity in our generation because we feel like somehow, you know, we missed the train. The train came by and we missed it. You know, there's the all the different factors that have happened, all the cultural things and the sociological things that happen to kind of drive home a mindset to us that we didn't belong or there was no place for us. Disenfranchisement is another major issue in our generation. This feeling like we don't belong. And so as a result, instead of listening to what God was saying or saying to the Lord, what are you trying to say through this? Did you notice Danielle today when she was sharing and she talked about what happened when she, about the cancer, right? She was sharing her whole story about the cancer. But then at one point she said, she's asking God, who do you want to be to me in this situation that you couldn't be to me any other way? Do you remember her say that? That was really key. Who do you want to be to me? Who are you trying to be to me? That there's no other way I can see it except through this kind of a situation. And I think if we had had that foresight, if we'd have had that maturity as a generation to say that question, a lot less of us would have been gone. But a lot of us just didn't have that understanding. There was a lot of confusion into us, what was going on. This process, we talked about it yesterday, this process of brokenness that was going on. You know, where God was breaking us and putting us through hard tests, hard situations, not understanding why. Not realizing that if you're going to carry the glory of God or you're going to release another measure of the glory of God, it's a very high requirement, right? Only priests were allowed to carry the ark in the Old Testament. And if you look, there were very, very specific prescriptions for what you had to be a priest. Not just anybody could like walk over and pick up the ark. We know that because that whole story that happens with Abinadab, when they're going along, when David's trying to take the ark back on the new carts and the oxen stumble, and then he reaches forward just to steady the ark and he gets zapped and he dies. Because not just anybody was allowed to touch the glory. So, I mean, I think we understood the part about the longing for the glory, but we didn't understand the preparation that went into it. And so there was this kind of a, it's hope deferred, but it's more than hope deferred. There's hope deferred, and then there's like hope deferred that literally becomes, you become identified with it. You actually identify yourself with the hope deferred. It's like we believe things, not just about our own lives, but even about our generation, that this is just our lot in life. This is just the way it's going to be. This is just what happened to us. They're just, you know, there's those boomers and there's so many of them and they're all strong and they're all this and they won't get out of the way and we're stuck. We're stuck. That's how a lot of Gen Xers feel. And that's why in the past there has been a lot of Gen Xers struggle with anger about the older generation, because they felt like it's their fault. If they weren't so this, if they weren't so that, if they weren't like creating systems, then maybe it would be okay then. You know, if they would have given me a chance, if they would have listened to me, if only they had wanted to have a relationship, if only, there's just, you could come with a litany of things. But all of those things, essentially, what you're saying is, God's not sovereign. Right? Because if you're saying, if only this, if only that, if only my life would have been different, if only, then it says God's not sovereign. He didn't know what was going to happen to you. That you're here by some accident or by some, the enemy was stronger than God, and he put you into some kind of situation and forced you into a situation that robbed you of your destiny. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But there's something I believe that we have been, as a generation, we've not been able to come to that place of fully giving birth to what we carry as a generation, because we have been unwilling to embrace the pain. Is this resonating with anybody? I mean, I know it's not a fun word. This is not a happy word. But does it, like, you know how you can hear certain things and your spirit gets all excited, and then you hear certain things and you get really kind of convicted? Or you just feel that, in the inside, that you're like, oh, I know that's right, but that's super unpleasant. But I know it's right. So it may be that you're feeling, that's right, but it's super unpleasant. At least, if any of this is making any kind of sense, does this resonate with you about our generation? Put up your hands. God doesn't want us to stay in a place of barrenness. We're in a perpetual state of pregnancy. That's even worse. And I've never been pregnant, and I can guess that that's worse. To be in a state of just about to give birth, and you're all swollen, and you're feeling fat, and the hormones are flying, and oh man, can you imagine me? That's us. That's why they call us. No, it just hit me. Something just flashed in my mind. There was this article I saw in the Globe and Mail, and it said, grumpy generation poised to take over from the boomers. And they were talking about us, right? I was like, grumpy generation? Like, literally, this is like a headline in the Globe or the National Post. Grumpy generation poised to take over from the boomers. I was like, how did we get that MO? Like, the grumpy generation. Right? Well, yeah, but if you were perpetually pregnant and felt fat and swollen, you'd be grumpy too. Right? That's the part they don't understand. So, but what can we do to get out of this? I don't know about everybody else, but I personally would like to get out of that part. Let's get on to the parenthood part. Right? But to do that, we have to be willing to submit to the process. And the Lord, see, he won't let us go into the process. Beautiful thing about birth is you don't really control it, except in extreme situations where you have to, because of the health of the baby or whatever, they have to induce labor. That's a relatively modern thing. Up until very recently, nobody had any control on when those babies came. Really? I mean, God was the one controlling. He decides. If he decides our lives, he decides the day we're born. And the moment. So God was deciding, right? So God knows if we're ready for the labor or not. Because the worst possible thing I've heard from many mothers, this as well, like the worst possible thing is you're into the process and you're suddenly so overcome by the pain that you decide you don't want to do this anymore. You don't want to push anymore. Well, that's really dangerous, right? Because you have to keep pushing. You can't be too tired. You can't be too whatever. You gotta go. Once that baby's coming, once it's moving down, you gotta go till it's finished. So maybe it's been God's mercy. He's been waiting for us to be properly ready to be able to give birth. Because maybe what we're bringing is a really big baby. And it might be a painful labor. And he wants to make sure we don't decide to quit midstream and end up putting the baby in jeopardy. So it's been a much longer process of training than maybe we would have had and if it was something else that we were trying to birth. Glory is kind of a big thing. It's a big thing. A big thing. Really, the whole nation. We say Canada, his dominion from sea to sea to sea, right? That's our, we're called the dominion of Canada, Psalm 72:8, right? He shall have dominion from sea to sea. This is the word that's like spoken over our nation. This has been declared. It's been spoken prophetically. It's actually chiseled into the Peace Tower, for those of you that don't know, in Ottawa. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. That's our spiritual destiny as a nation. That's a biggie. Because that makes us then an example of and a healer to all the nations. How? Because we've become an example of what a nation looks like when it turns to God and has the favor of God, the blessing of God, and the protection of God over that nation. I shared the first day of that. That's what the journey started doing, but we're not done. That was phase one. We're not done. There's more journey to go because the nation's not filled with the glory from sea to sea to sea yet, right? So it's a big thing. It's not a little thing that we carry. Canada carries so much more on it. We are a birthing nation. We're an intercessory nation. What we go through, what we break through, breaks it through for other places. I've watched that with the Watchman Journey. What we broke through in Canada broke through now. We're now seeing it in Asia. Like we're seeing it blasting through Asia, through mainland China, through Hong Kong, through Taiwan, through Malaysia, through, you know, all these different places. They're entering into this. And in Europe, there's countries. And it's just everywhere. It's like people have heard the story of what happened in Canada, of what the church in Canada did. And they're saying, we need to walk in the kingdom journey like that for our nation. We need to do that. But Canada's not done. That was just phase one. But there's still phase two. Somebody had said in the meeting today, there's a phase when you destroy the giants, like when you rip out the giants, but then there's a phase when you occupy the land. And there was a phase in the last 10-year journey was about knocking down the giants. It was about taking out major strongholds, like stuff to do with the anti-Semitism, like the French-English division, like these different things that the Lord had us hit, right? It was like airstrikes, bang, 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 to weaken the strongholds of the enemy. But now it's time for the ground forces to come in and occupy. Occupy, settle, control. So it's a big mandate. It requires a big birth. And to do it, we have to position ourselves correctly. It's all about how we position ourselves. Not about our capability, not about our ability. I mean, I heard that in Tabby's story. It wasn't that she had some kind of special something more than other people to be able to give birth. But she was choosing to position herself in a way to surrender to the process. Surrender is a big word too. Surrender, submit, both of those things. You know, and part of that is like we're submitting to God, we're surrendering to God, but sometimes we're going to have to do things that are not going to be easy. I'm sure you know that, Gen Xers. We're not going to always be able to do the stuff that's easy and fun. There's going to be, Rick mentioned that scripture today, right? About, you know, trials and tribulations will come, you know, like through many, many, many trials and tribulations, you enter the kingdom. Like it's not just all puppies and roses. So there has to be a remnant willing to do that and willing to say, I will embrace the pain. And yeah, it's easy to do that sitting in a meeting. But it's not about the meeting. It's about what's going to happen after the meeting. It's going to be what happens when you go back and you still get misunderstood. Maybe by the leaders that you're working with or walking with. And how you react. And how you choose to react. Because as some of the fathers and mothers were saying to us this afternoon, they said, you know, as you guys go forward and you start to share what you're carrying and share what you're doing as Gen Xers, there are going to be some people that don't like it. There are going to be some people who are like, who are you? What are you doing? Who do you think you are? Da, 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 da. And he said, it's not going to be what you say as much as how you act that is going to make the difference. Right? You can either react to the enemy or respond to the Lord. It's your call. But at every decision point, those two things are going on. That's every time you have a major decision, that's the two crossroads you're looking at, literally. You're either like, I'm going to respond to God and go down this road, or I'm going to react to the enemy and the circumstances and go down this road. Rick said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. It's the way it is. And honestly, with what's coming, if you think the enemy's just going to give up, you know, control of everything that he's got control of, no. If you think he's going to give up without a fight, no. We don't like to give him a lot of airtime or talk a lot about him, but the point is, as Xers, we need to get into this set my face as flint. Set my face like flint. Nothing moves me. I don't give myself the right to stop. We have to stop giving ourselves the right to stop. Like, a lot of us are aborting the purposes of God in our own lives. It's not other things aborting. Actually, nothing can stop the purpose of God in your life, except you. If you get yourself out of alignment with the head, it's like a big umbrella, right? It's like God's holding an umbrella over your head. That's the will of God. It's the umbrella over your head. Everything else around you is rain. If you step outside the umbrella, you're going to get wet, guaranteed. As long as you stay in it, that's just a spiritual way of talking about like the shadow of his wings. It's much more lyrical in the Psalms than what I'm telling you. But this is the good visual. It's an umbrella. If you stay in the will of God, I'm not saying it'll always be easy, but you're not going to be assaulted by the kinds of things many of us are assaulted by. Again, I'm talking Gen X to Gen X. I see a lot of people in our generation struggling with warfare they would never have to struggle with if they would just stay aligned with the head. There's a verse in Colossians that talks about you've lost connection to the head. Ever read that verse? They've lost connection to the head. That's been a lot of people in our generation. As much as we've said, we want God, we want this, we've lost connection to the head. And it's time for us to reconnect and commit and say, Lord, I'm not going to be listening to the voice of self-pity. I'm not going to listen to the voice of my past. I'm not going to listen to the voice of my fear, because all of those things are conspiring to stop you from stepping through the threshold. The new door is open. You're not waiting for it to open. It is open. But it's your choice. It's our decision if we're going to step across the threshold. And I think for us as a generation, going back to the beginning, it's going to be a lifestyle of death. Death is not a means to an end. Okay, I'll die, and then I'll get my ministry. Yay, now I go do my own thing. It doesn't work that way. People in ministry are all going, ew, it doesn't work that way. It's a process of death. It's just, do you want to accelerate the process? As Tabby and my other friends that have had labor have told me, if you fight it, if you rail against it, if you tense up, it just makes it longer. If you relax and let yourself be carried away by it, it'll still be painful, but it'll be shorter. It'll be shorter pain. So our goal can't be less pain. Like, if the goal of your life is to get into the place where there's no pain, you're never going to do anything in the kingdom. I'm sorry. There's blunt for you. This is Gen X to Gen X talk, straight talk. You never knew anything, because it doesn't work that way. Kingdom's not wired that way. And God is really looking, I believe, and in our generation, we are blessed, because see, every generation gets blessed by the revelation of the generations before them, right? Like, we get to live in more light, because we live in the light that the older generations fought to bring to the surface. And then we get to live in it. So that's why we have to be careful when we try to look back at previous generations and judge them, because we're judging them from present day light, but they fought for that light. And we're fighting for a kind of light. And the millennials will live in more light than we lived in. They'll have more revelation if we do our job right. Then they'll have more revelation. But there's something in this willingness to embrace the death as an ongoing process, not a one-time thing, and not in a way like, okay, I guess I have to die. That's not embracing it. What does it mean to embrace somebody? What does it mean to embrace somebody? There you go. Russ just embraced Phil. He hugged him close and tight. Right? The picture here, that's an embrace. Embrace the dying. Embrace the suffering. We embrace it. Paul talked about it was a joy to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings, to be made more like him. And in our selfish, me centered Western culture, we lost that. We are avoiding suffering at all costs. We avoid suffering and inconvenience at all costs. Right? Is that not true? Where do you go? You hear messages about embracing suffering. It's not a popular message, but it is a kingdom way. And if we really want to see his kingdom come, his will be done. Tabby said yesterday, Jesus is perfect theology. Look at Jesus. Look at Philippians 2. What does it say? It says, though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he made himself a servant and he humbled himself and became obedient. Fill in the blank. What did he become obedient unto? Unto death. Even death on a cross. That's the model. He's the chief cornerstone. He's already been laid. You're not going to build the church after any other pattern but the one already laid. That's the chief cornerstone. If you really want to be a living stone added into the holy habitation he is building for his presence in the corporate body, in Edmonton, in Alberta, in Canada, in the earth, if you want to be that living stone, then you need to pattern yourself after the cornerstone, Jesus, period. And that involves embracing death. And if we will do that, really do that with our whole hearts, I believe that God is going to begin to, he's going to go, you know what? Now it's safe for them and the baby. Time for the labor pains to start. He's a good God. He's not going to put you into something you can't handle. I feel we need to take a bit of time to just like let this sink in. Take some time and worship. And just each of us individually, I mean, this message obviously isn't just for Gen Xers. This is a kingdom message. So it's for every generation. But because God's targeting Gen Xers in this particular gathering, I wanted to look you all in the eye. And you're my generation. And I have a longing and a desire to see our generation released into the fullness of what God's called us to be. But I know there's no other way. This is it. There's one way, and it's the death way. And so I feel like we'll just take some time. Let the worship team just lead us into some time of worship and let us each just individually raise our hearts up to the Lord. Just talk to him. If you want to move around, you don't have to sit in your chair. If you'd like to go into a corner or lay down on the floor, this is for all of us. Lay on a seat, whatever you want to do. Just do business with God. Talk to the Lord about this. Be honest with him. Why fake it? He knows what you're thinking anyway. And he knows what's in your heart. So just be honest to the Lord. If there's things that you know, even as you've been hearing me share, and you're like, you know what, as she was sharing, this came up, or I saw this, or I saw that, or the Lord reminded me of this situation, or this, or that. Things you need to let go of. So let the Lord go and search your heart. And just allow him to go deep. And say, Lord, whatever it is that you need to change so that I can be entrusted with another level of your glory, because that's all I want, God. Whatever piece, little part you have me to play, I want to play it to its fullness. Lord, whatever it takes to allow you to entrust me with that, then I'm asking you, Father, show me. Show me inside of me what needs to change.